Thank you very much, Murilo. It's an exciting new expert assistant technique, you know, that I'll tell you a little more about it. But the first thing I would like to recognize my co-authors, the top bunch are biologists, agronomists, and the bottoms are engineers, computer scientists, and so on from Texas A&M Corpus Christi. And this synergy between computer people and biologists and so on has paid tremendous dividends, you know, tremendous progress that we have made at AgriLife, you know, in advancing this data analysis in the UAV data collection. This is what we put together with the team. We have the engineers help us with the data collection by designing the aircraft and so on, help us with the visualization through computer analysis and so on, and then put it in simple ways to analyze it and hopefully come out with potential applications in agriculture, and that's where we come in as biologists. This is a typical experiment that we run. I like this one because he had a bunch of varieties, 30 varieties, all some experimental, some commercials, dry land and irrigated. This was at the Corpus Christi Center. And then you can see the amount of data that we collect from the samples. You know, these are two row plots, and then every row we divided into 10 grids, about a meter square. And this particular experiment has almost 500,000 data points. And you can see the type of data on top for a couple varieties, you know, for canopy cover, you know, and the growth pattern that we develop as the plants grow. So we are accumulating this massive amount of data. So now what do we do with it? How we analyze it? How do we make some sense with it? And that's where Expert Systems comes in. And that's what digital twins is one of the techniques of artificial intelligence expert systems. It's got some simulation in it, but basically what it is a digital twin is a digital representation of a physical thing. It's mainly used for in engineering, engine designs, airplane designs. The medical industry is using it now, and I think it has a really interesting application here in agriculture. In engineering, they use sensors, you know, to communicate between the digital and the real thing. We are going to communicate using UAV collected data, you know, as our sensors, you know, to generate our digital twins. The term it's been there for a while, as I say, mainly in engineering. You know, but much more popular now because of the massive amount of data that we are capable of analyzing. And at first, the definitions were kind of complex, integrated multi-physics, multi-scale probabilistic simulations, and so on. But all with the common denominator that is a mirror the life of its corresponding real thing. And then you can see the evolution of the definitions. I like the last three. You know, it's a dynamic 17 and 18, a dynamic virtual representation of a physical object. I like that. Then I like the other one because it deals with management, digital copy of a physical system to perform real-time optimization. And the last one is just the one I use commonly, a digital twin. Is a real-time digital replica of a physical device. This is an example that I picked from internet, and the reason why I picked this one here is because it lists all of the data that goes into the development of that model, that statistical models and machine learning model to make this physical thing, and then they can optimize the real thing by playing with the digital, you know, it's like a real thing, you know, but they can play what-if games and so on with it. And this one here is another example, which involves, you know, manufacturing. And this is closer to what I want to talk to you about it because the machine with sensors provide information to the digital twin and then goes back, you know, and evaluates the performance of the of the machine and so on, you know, and they evaluate the and they optimize the design of these engines. How does this apply to agriculture? Well, we're going to go through the process of developing a digital twin for agriculture, one of the concepts, and of course involves data collection, data processing, parameter estimation, and that's what we've been doing with our team for the last few years. And now we are getting into the, you know, how do we use this data? You know, the expert system development and so on, you know, the feature engineering and machine learning. And I'm going to give you an introduction of how this might look like in agriculture. You've seen some of our equipment. It's very simple. We run an RGB system with a very nice camera there. And then also we use a multiple spectrum sensor with four webands. Those are the basic equipment that we run, RGB and multiple spectrum. We run it separate because, you know, we want to optimize, I mean, the flying protocol, you know, to get maximum quality of each of the sensors. And then this is a typical data collection procedure. You know, we got our flights throughout the season, and every time that we fly, we put a dot on the growth development curves, you know, so we begin to develop, you know, a digital representation of what that field looks like. And this is the list of parameters that we normally collect. The ones in blue requires special procedures, lower flying and more analysis. There's going to be a presentation tomorrow on the plant population account that I invite you to attend. And then the plant height, canopy cover, canopy volumes are, you know, and the vegetated indexes are our normal, you know, data that we collect every time that we fly. All right. This is the RGB picture of a time sequence of a crop. You can see from emergence all the way up to maturity, and you can see that canopy development. Well, that is the real thing. And then below is the digital representation of that plot. You know, and we can do this by grid. You know, we can do this by line. You know, there's two row plots. We can do it by combining the two lines. You know, and what you see in the bottom is by single row. You know, so every variety will have every entry will have two data sets. But the bottom is the kind of a representation of a digital version of what is on the top. All right. Then we use all of that data into an expert system, machine learning system. You know, in this case, you know, the machine learning is trying to forecast yield at the end of the season. And we've been fairly successful at doing that. Dr. Jinhai Zhang is going to present the complete product tomorrow, and I invite you to attend because it's a very nice system, you know, where we can take a field plot, a field, and then if we have the input data, we can collect we can estimate yields. Now the idea here is that if we have, and we're in the middle of the season, you know, and we want to be able to forecast what is coming up in the next week, next couple weeks or so. And that's exactly what we've done so far with our, what we're calling our alpha version, which is a Juan Landivar version that, you know, I know enough computer science, computer programming used to be dangerous, you know, but this is an approximation of a mathematical optimization of what our twin, digital twin system might look like. Imagine that we are in day 50, and then all of the blue dots represent the data up to today. Those 50 days, is the result of the plant integrating the soils, the fertility, the environment, the variety, you know, and this is the expression of that variety in that environment. Now the question that we ask our expert system is, giving all of the data, is that what will our canopy cover in this case will look a week ahead? Can we do it 2 weeks ahead, 3 weeks ahead, 4 weeks ahead. And we found that a month, you know, we can do fairly well with the existing data to forecast what that canopy might look like. And you can see at the right grow the crop to that point, how well the model forecasted, those points. What is the significance of this? You know, you can see there that at day 50, we are somewhat in the linear phase of development. You can see there that the crop develops a canopy from about 30 to 100% in a month. You know, so it goes from 30 to 100, three times almost the increase. You know, can you think about what can you do if we move you from day 50 to day 80, you know, and allow you to look at the crop and you tell me, you know, what your picnics might be. You know, Wayne, you might be able to look at what your fertility needs to, you know, to meet that, you know, that excessive growth or that vigorous growth. And here I got some examples, water needs, you know, that the crop coefficient, KC, in this right bottom graph, is linearly related, according to Bob Hutchbacher, to canopy cover. You know, so that 40% from going from 30 to 60, you know, that crop is going to use lots of water. It's going to be, it's going to directly, the use of water is going to be directly proportional to that growth. So you can do some analysis of what your water situation might be. What about pigs? You know, the canopy is going to triple in size in a month, according to this graph. You know, and then, well, if that curve is very steep, you might, you know, be able to, you know, to use a more aggressive pigs application rate, like we've done in this at the left of this graph. Or if the curve is not as steep, you know, you're expecting something, too much water use, you know, you might use a less aggressive a pigs management application. We can keep on going. You see that when, you know, every week, you know, we can forecast the next month and then take the grower from now a month ahead, you know, so you can virtually see what the crop might look like, and then you come back to the day 50 and then decide what to do. And you can see here that we might be able to forecast how he had cut out crop terminations and so on. Now, if you want to forecast a little bit longer, you know, linking digital twins models with simulation might be the way to go. And here we've done this with Gaussing, where you can see how far the digital twin goes, the blue dot, and then we forecast it with Gaussing the rest. And the advantage is that Gaussing gives us lots of other parameters that UAV data are not able to get. And you can see the blue dots out there is data that Murilo Maeda collected to validate this forecast. Or a more elegant approach by Javier Osorio of Temple, using the APEX model. You can see there in the first graph, you know, that he's got very little data, the upper left, and then he misses completely, you know, and then he projects with his model. He misses completely the UAV collected data. Then the upper right, he has a little more of data. He calibrates his model, and then he gets a little more on top of the real data. So he's able to forecast, you know, the crop a little better. And the bottom left, more data. Is pretty much on top. The fourth graph out there, even better. Stage four, even better. And then at the end of the season, he was able to simulate the field measurements collected by this guy, remote sensing data for UAV collected by our Jim Hastin, and the yield that we collected. You know, so that that combination of digital twins or data that you collected so far, combined with that and use that as input with simulation model, might be an interesting technique. So made emphasis here that our alpha version was able to forecast crop performance up to a month. We might be able to do better when the experts begin to do this rather than the agronomists, the simulation. Predicted information can be used to estimate plant growth regulators, fertilizer, water needs, define defoliation time, crop termination, and so on. It could be a very powerful tool for research if we link it with simulation models. And then our future work is going to be to finish up this product, you know, based on the model that Dr. Jinha is developing, we'll present tomorrow, and then begin to test it in the field. Thank you very much, and I think I managed to exhaust my time.
Yes, you did. So if you have any questions for Dr. Landwehr, you can catch him.
Yes.
He's going to be around for a while. Thank you, Dr. Landwehr.
Thank you.